Why get all your holiday decorations delivered through Instacart? Because maybe you only bought two wreaths, but you have 12 windows. Or maybe your toddler got very eager with the advent calendar. Or maybe the inflatable snowman didn't make it through the snowstorm. Or maybe the twinkle lights aren't twinkling. Whatever the reason, this season, Instacart's here for hosts and their whole holiday haul. Get decorations from the Home Depot, CVS, and more through Instacart and enjoy free delivery on your first three orders. Service fees and terms apply.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
I'm Jenna Fisher.
And I'm Angela Kinsey.
And together we have the podcast Office Ladies.
Just because we finished rewatching The Office does not mean we're going anywhere.
Every Wednesday, we'll be sharing even more exclusive stories from The Office and our friendship with brand new guests. Plus, you can revisit all the Office Ladies rewatch episodes every Monday with new bonus tidbits before every episode.
So follow and listen to Office Ladies on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.
We have holiday music in the bistro today. Did you notice?
No.
Maybe it was already happening, but...
I did not... I did not notice.
Fine with it.
I didn't hear anything out there, actually.
Fine with it.
Yeah. Good. Yeah, fine.
Maybe they were just testing it.
Yeah, I don't know.
I'm ready.
Sure. I got no beef there.
The tree is up.
Yes. Like that, too.
Fine with all of it.
I wore the jacket I'll wear all winter today.
Oh, I thought you were going to say Christmas sweater.
Yeah.
Too early for the Christmas sweater.
Not a big Christmas sweater guy.
Before we ask him, does Ross Tucker have a Christmas sweater? I'm thinking he does. I'm not sure he wears it every year. I'm thinking, Ross, I'm thinking you have a Christmas sweater. What's the answer?
I own a Christmas sweater.
Bam.
But I almost never wear it unless it's like a... I don't know, Christmas party or ugly Christmas sweater party. But the thing is I never actually get to go to any Christmas parties because I'm always working. People have parties on weekends. So inevitably, my brother-in-law, sister-in-law host an incredible, like, dirty Santa party the weekend before. I usually am not there. The weekend after, my wife's family usually has a party. I'm usually not there. So what I want everybody to know is I adore my job because I love the sport of football, and it's the coolest job in the world. But, like, there are negatives. For example, this year I'll be doing the Christmas game in Pittsburgh for Westwood One. So that's a 1 o'clock game. I don't know why it's 1 o'clock, but it is. Chiefs Steelers. That's awesome. Chiefs Steelers, great game. Awesome.
Right.
What's not as awesome will be us. Well, you know what? The girls will probably already be up, but we will see what Santa Claus brought from like 6 a.m. to 8 a.m. before I have to get on the road and drive 3 hours to Pittsburgh to call that game, that's fine. I'm actually glad that I get to experience Santa Claus before I go to the game.
Right. At least not Hawaii again.
Yeah. Well, exactly. I do have a Christmas sweater. However, I'm never actually home for the opportunities where I would actually wear said sweater, if that makes sense. I'll also say this. I'm just not a sweater guy. If I'm wearing a sweater, I'm usually sweating. I'm sweatering. Yep. I'm the sweater while I'm wearing a sweater. I'm very anti-sweater. I'm anti-jacket. Because, first of all, if you wear a jacket, then what do you do when you get to the house? Like, why do you even need a jacket for the 7 seconds from when you walk to your car and then walk into the person's house? Suck it up, Buttercup. You don't need a jacket.
Because I get sick, Ross.
You've never had a better take than all of this.
Isn't that right now?
Jackets are for wimps or people that are trying to like be fashionable. The same people that wear jackets probably wear scarves. Like if you wear a scarf, I know for a fact you're not cool. And I don't want to hang out with you.
Wow.
I know that for a fact. I wear a scarf.
No, on the line.
Now I got to rescind the best take stuff because I think a key element to not wearing the big beefy coat is having a scarf. It's practical, Ross.
Yeah, no, you're wrong.
Bulldog,
yeah,
you were so in. You were so in.
I know. Well, I got to be real. I can't lie. I mean, at some point in my life, I probably defended scarves or scarves.
Well, leaves. Have one other rule. If your nickname is Bulldog, you definitely can't wear a scarf ever.
Or a shirt.
I am rescinding the nickname. I'm renouncing that I am the prince and king of Ramunda and that you are Bulldog.
I can't wait to take a picture and send it to you and put it on social media of me in a scarf.
It's there.
This is going to happen.
Yeah, I see it.
It's just going to happen.
You're not Bulldog, you're Bullcat.
Oh, wow.
Wow. What a start. On the line, Odyssey NFL insider Ross Tucker.
Insider
calls are brought to you by Hellman's Real Mayonnaise. May your game day be delicious. How's your day going, Ross?
Pretty good. Tuesdays are just jam-packed, man. Absolutely jam-packed. I mean, here's my schedule. Since everybody driving around right now needs to know this.
Yes.
Thursday night, Commanders-Eagles with Ian Eagle, Westwood One. So I'll be in the booth Thursday night for a huge game. Then Friday morning, I'll fly down to Miami. Sunday, Raiders at Dolphins for CBS. And then I'll be watching Bills Chiefs on Paramount Plus. They'll love it. I just said that. Paramount Plus app on the way to the airport. And then I'll watch the game. And then I can't disclose where yet. But because I'm a sicko and I have a disease, I'm doing a Maction game Tuesday night.
Ooh.
We've got Maction here tonight.
Tonight, yep.
Actually.
UB.
UB's at home tonight. Yeah.
I'm going to get to finish my point, though, that's really important. The problem is, if you wear a sweater or a turtleneck or anything, I'm going to sweat at that party.
Oh, yeah.
Because those people will have their thermostat set to 70 degrees. What happens is you get 30 to 40 people in there that it becomes 75 degrees real quick. Everybody's talking too much, a lot of hot air. And so now I'm wearing a sweater. It's 75 degrees. I'm sweating. The sweater's uncomfortable. I don't even know how sweater manufacturers are still in business at this point. Who wears sweaters?
The best you can do for the sweater, I think, said the guy who likes scarves, just so we're clear here, is, I think, use it to wear to the party instead of a coat and then take it off. Like, we host Thanksgiving every year, 25 people or so in my house, and the idea of wearing, I have to be in a t-shirt. Because it's going to be, and I don't have the thermostat set at no 70 either, but it's just, you know, you pile two sides of the family into your house, and it's just ridiculous.
All right, listen, anyway, I got to step in. It's the biggest game ever, and we're starting to sound like we're trolling our listeners, which I do not want to be accused of. I know I'm going to get the scarf smack anyway. So let's move on to week 11 here, Ross. Chiefs and Bills. I hope you appreciate, I'm hoping you appreciate the spirit of this question. How big a game is this?
I absolutely appreciate the spirit of it. And I have pondered that exact question. And the answer is, it's not big at all for the Buffalo Bills or really even the Chiefs. It's only big for the history of the NFL, if that makes sense.
Mm-hmm.
If the Chiefs win this game, people are going to start to talk about 20-0. Like, that's going to be a conversation, okay? So because of that, That would be why it's big. But these teams are both going to the playoffs, and they're very likely to play against each other again in the playoffs. And so I guess it's just hard to get too worked up about this game unless you think or you thought that perhaps, you know, this would impact home field advantage. I don't think it's going to. I don't think the Chiefs are going to lose home field advantage. I mean, I guess it's theoretically possible, but I don't see it happening. And I think a really strong argument can be made that the winner of this game is essentially just less likely to win the playoff game. That's sort of, I know that that might not make sense to some people, but I think it's the truth. I think it's really hard to beat another good team twice. I know you guys will have the exact facts about it, but it certainly feels like every year the Bills win the regular season game, and then the Chiefs win the playoff game that matters. And so, I don't know. I mean, I think it'd be cool if the Bills won, because then the Chiefs won't go undefeated, I guess. But I don't know. If I want the Bills to go to the Super Bowl, maybe they're better off losing so the Chiefs are still 18-0 when they match up in the playoffs, because then I would feel better about the Bills' chances of winning in the playoffs. And maybe that doesn't make sense to some people, but that's how I feel.
Well, Freudian slip, perhaps, by the way, almost calling it the preseason. That's good. That's good.
Right. It is. You're right. We have it memorized. 3 years in a row, Ross, the Bills have beaten the Chiefs in Kansas City, for what it's worth. Two of those years, they then lost in the playoffs. Last year at home in 21, of course, the famous 13 seconds game. So, there's already that sentiment is out there here. Like, let's flip the script this year. Go ahead and let the Chiefs have this one. Now, I haven't heard from hundreds of Bills fans on this, but I know this market and these fans well enough after all these years in this chair to know that that's already out there. Like, well, we don't beat them now. We'll beat them in January, like you're saying, because of how the last few seasons have gone here.
Well, so that's what's so interesting. Like, I feel like if I'm a Bills fan, I almost feel like I can't lose. Or I guess you could look at it the other way and say you can't win. But, like, if they win, awesome. They won. Maybe they have a shot at home field advantage. If the Chiefs lose another one, we can beat those guys. This year, we're playing great. It's our best record in a long time, blah, blah, blah. But if they lose, it's like, you know what? That's fine. That's fine that we lost. We're going to get them in the playoffs. Like, it's really easy to make the argument either way. Which is fascinating. I saw some stat today that the last time two teams played against each other this much in this short of a window was, you know, Manning and Brady.
Yep, right.
The last time two quarterbacks went against each other this often. This is the modern day Manning and Brady, but, you know, it's time now for Peyton Manning to beat Tom Brady in the playoffs, right? Like, that finally happened. It's time for Josh to do that. And no big deal, but, like, the whole free world other than Chiefs fans is kind of counting on it.
Eighth meeting since COVID. I don't know how long ago COVID seems to you.
Twice in 20, twice in 21, once in 22, twice last year.
Insider calls brought to you by Hellman's Real Mayonnaise. You can purchase Hellman's at your local Walmart, Kroger, or grocery store to add extra deliciousness and creamy flavor to our game day dishes this football season. Anything on the matchup here, the X's and O's stuff, Ross, that interests you? I mean, maybe it all does. It's that great of a matchup here in the NFL. And also the whole conversation here about, well, you're going to play them again, which is not a given, but it sort of feels like one. To what extent do teams go to basically not show their best stuff? Would that be crazy to assume would happen here, or maybe it's also, maybe it could be sort of what usually happens?
No, they're going to play to win. The playoff game is, first of all, not a certainty, especially with other good teams like the Ravens, Steelers, et cetera. And secondly, so it's a long way away. I mean, it's at least 2 months away. That's like 7 years in NFL time. I mean, both teams will have multiple guys, probably multiple different starters if they play against each other again, right? Like, you know, the Bills, the next time they play, if they play, we'll have Keon Coleman and Milano. So they'll have two guys back, and they'll probably have two other guys that are out. And the same for the Chiefs. And so that really changes the dynamic. I don't think either team will hold anything back other than maybe a trick play or so that they really like, or maybe a special teams thing. But that would surprise me. I guess what interests me, Chiefs are really struggling offensively, and, you know, the Broncos really exposed that. So I'm curious to see how that plays out with the Bills defense. And then certainly, you know, on the other side, Chiefs defense has been excellent. So I'm curious to see, you know, how the Bills look against this excellent Chiefs defense.
Well, you know, that's the thing about the Chiefs here, Ross, and it's been true, I think, largely these last 2 years, where there's so much focus on Mahomes. I mean, he hit the league like a tsunami when he got here and sort of ushered in this era of quarterbacks who play like he plays, and Allen and Lamar Jackson and all of that. The defense has been the thing. Spagnuolo in that defense and Chris Jones. L'Jarius Sneed leaves fine. They don't really miss a beat. Like, that's the thing. Like, is it how much, like, what does Spagnuolo do that is so difficult to deal with? I'm sure you've talked to Greg Cosell and others about this.
Yeah. Well, a couple things. He's very, very aggressive. Very. And in part, he'll play more man coverage than a lot of other people are willing to play. He also brings a lot more secondary pressures than a lot of other people are willing to bring, meaning blitzing corners, blitzing nickels, blitzing safeties. I think that's probably the biggest thing, is they've had some really good corners, you know, Sneed, McDuffie. Now, Sneed's not there anymore, so they're not quite as good there. And they've been able to generate a lot of pressure, in part because of his scheme design. And that's the thing, I think, is that it's funny, because the Bills' defense has been so good, and yet it feels like the Chiefs has been just a little bit better. And Josh Allen has been so good, and yet it feels like Mahomes has been just a little bit better. And so that was also somewhat the case for so many of those Manning-Brady matchups. And then in 2006, the Patriots, the Colts had just had enough of it. And they just, I don't know how it happened, because they were down by like 20 points in that AFC Championship game, but they just started making play after play after play. It was like somebody just said, we're sick of it. It's over. It ends now. And it did. And it was remarkable, because the way in which it happened, not just that they did it, but that they did it coming back from so many points. So I don't know when that'll happen for the Bills, but hopefully it happens, like we said, in January. Maybe they win this game, but it needs to happen in January.
Last thing, Ross. So as we're talking about seeding and possible scenarios looking ahead to the playoffs, Steelers Ravens this week in Pittsburgh. We had Pittsburgh win in Washington last week, and they're still Steelering, if you will, here, 7-2. I mean, I just been saying for years every Pittsburgh Baltimore game is 16-15, and I'm not far off. What do you think there this week? Is Pittsburgh like just going to keep doing this? Are they good enough to beat Baltimore, who's favored on the road there? That would scare me if I were the Ravens.
Well, it's so funny that you say that because everybody, I guess, has the same joke. But on the Even Money Betting Podcast today, the Steelers are getting 3.5 points. And I just laughed. I'm like,
The holidays are all about sharing with family. Meals, couches, stories, grandma's secret pecan pie recipe. And now you can also share a cart with Instacart's family carts. Everyone can add what they want to one group cart from wherever they are. So you don't have to go from room to room to find out who wants cranberry sauce or who should get mini marshmallows for the yams or collecting votes for sugar cookies versus shortbread. Just share a cart and then share the meals and the moments. Download the Instacart app and get delivery in as fast as 30 minutes. Plus, enjoy free delivery on your first three orders. Service fees and terms apply.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
I'm Jenna Fisher.
And I'm Angela Kinsey.
And together we have the podcast Office Ladies.
Just because we finished rewatching The Office does not mean we're going anywhere.
Every Wednesday, we'll be sharing even more exclusive stories from The Office and our friendship with brand new guests. Plus, you can revisit all the Office Ladies rewatch episodes every Monday with new bonus tidbits before every episode.
So follow and listen to Office Ladies on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.
Can I put, like, my mortgage on this? I mean, every game these teams have ever played, one team beats the other one by a field goal. It used to be 13-10, but I just interviewed this guy, Dave Damashek, for the Ross Tucker podcast, and he said with inflation, it's now 20-17. So it used to be 13-10, now it's 20-17 every time they play. So that'll happen again. I just don't know which one will win. Similar kind of thing. You know, they'll play against each other again, and they'll battle. The Steelers are Steelering, and I agree with that, but they don't have an MVP candidate quarterback. You know, they have a quarterback that's doing a nice job for them and helping them win games, but the Steelers are not going to the Super Bowl. Because to go to the Super Bowl, you're going to have to win three games, and at least two of them are going to have to be against MVP-caliber quarterbacks, right? Josh Allen, Lamar Jackson, Patrick Mahomes, and the odds that the Steelers are able to beat multiple MVP caliber quarterbacks with a average quarterback, it just doesn't happen that much in the NFL anymore. It just doesn't.
Ross, thank you. Should be a great one. Enjoy Miami. Philadelphia first, and then Miami on Sunday. Really cool. Thanks again.
Of course. Great talking with you guys. I'm anti-sweater. See ya.
Clearly.
That's Odyssey NFL Insider Ross Tucker on the Wester Hotline. Insider calls are brought to you by Hellman's Real Mayonnaise. May your game day be delicious. And in part by Northwest Bank. For what's next, get started at northwest.com.
Right. Ross was kind of not that big a game.
Mm-hmm.
It almost sounds like heresy, but
yep.
There's logic involved. That's the thing about logic.
It flies in the face of logic.
In the face of feelings. You have to choose a side. 803-0550, your take on Sunday and its importance and what will happen is welcome after the update. Mike Schopen, the Bulldog here. This is WGR. Great day. Ross is always fun. Rob Gronkowski with us earlier today. He and several others are going into the Greater Buffalo Sports Hall of Fame tonight. If you missed Gronk, we'll have that for you next hour in advance of the big occasion. Also coming up this hour, we expect a call from fellow 2024 Greater Buffalo Sports Hall of Fame inductee Brooks Orpik, longtime NHLer, Amherst, Nichols, Penguins, Capitals. Brooks Orpik.
It's Boston College you missed in there.
I did miss Boston College.
I'm here for you.
I've been to Boston College.
Me too.
And loved it.
Yeah, pretty good.
Fall, so good.
It's all right, yeah.
Ross on this game. Agree? Largely?
Yeah.
Generally?
I mean, that's where, you know, we started today, and I didn't feel... I still don't. I feel conflicted, you know, admitting that it lost. This game lost. I lost a lot. What? Bulldog, it's the Chiefs and the Bills. Nance and Romo. The pregame show. All of it. The Chiefs not getting that loss stuck on them by Denver on Sunday. Or, you know, would have been nice if it had happened earlier even. But still, they were that close. And, you know, would have been an opportunity for the Bills to catch them, pass them for the time being in the rankings as far as the number one seed goes. And I really feel like I needed that juice. Like that quest, though, I got to remind myself, that quest is not dead, nor is the two or the three or the whatever. So, you know, I want them to keep going, but it doesn't feel the same without that one loss on the Chiefs. And the fact that the Bills have got such a clear path to sort of, you know, I mean, what they've already got 8 wins, you know, like they could have a terrible second half of the season and still win the division comfortably. And that's a weird place to be. Not that I favor having the anxiety of being 500 going to play the Chiefs like they were last year. You know, I prefer this, but I don't know. There's something for me. There's a piece in this puzzle that's missing. Without the sort of, I don't know, the downside doesn't feel very steep at all. It feels like they're going to lose. You'll be, you know, depending on how it goes, if the refs fix it because Taylor Swift is here or whatever happens.
You know that'll happen.
Right? You know, and we're outraged about some decision, this or that. Like, we'll get past all that. And in the end, you know, again, if they lose it tragically or just get blown out, whatever, maybe you would consider a blowout tragic. I don't know. Eventually, you're going to go, okay, they're 8-3, and they have a 4-game lead in the division or better. You know, like, the worst they're going to be is there. And, you know, what am I supposed to be really upset about as far as the big picture goes? Because January is really all that matters. It just won't take a lot out of us. And if you know that going in, that eases a lot of the tension that sort of makes this whole thing work for
yeah,
me.
Yeah, for better or worse.
For me, yeah, better or worse. I that's my fuel in doing this. And I don't know, I'm having trouble finding my muse in that way with this game.
Right. You lose the game, or even if you win and there are things that didn't go well, that's, I guess, maybe the best case scenario where you sort of do what Kansas City keeps doing and just sort of pulling out these games where you can really... Ross is right. It's not a given that they'll meet again, but there's a fair chance that they will, and you can work off of what did or didn't work in this game. What did work, you might not want to necessarily go back to, and what didn't, you want to try to fix. I think this game and other Bills games also have been like this. Maybe just because this is kind of how you do it, where it, the first quarter is really, it's a slow play. You're trying to figure out which run gaps are there for you or not. What kind of double teams, what kind of mismatches, how are they lining up against you in the secondary, you know, personnel-wise, whatever. I think teams do that. I think it kind of might go to explain how the Bills have had these low-scoring starts to games. They did get a defensive touchdown in Indianapolis, or else it was another one where they're just not, they're not getting the ball in the end zone, really. I think it's a little bit experimental, and it would be, logically, it would be even more so when you're playing a team, you know, it's like boxing. We sort of just fence and parry, try to figure out what might be there later.
And we haven't really mixed this into it today in talking about it, but... I don't know. Ross kind of got to it there, talking about how different, you know, the teams could be, you know, after they meet on Sunday, and should they meet again in January, like who's in and who's out. I mean, who's out right now for the Bills? We know Keon Coleman's out. I think there's genuinely reason to be worried about Amari Cooper and Dalton Kincaid. And like, I mean, what have I really got here? You know, there'll be a lot of that. That'll be, I think, a piece of the narrative afterward. Whatever happens, if the Bills win and they did it without those guys, like, okay, well, I'm going to get them back. So, you know, onward and upward, I'll get you in January, even though I haven't been able to beat you twice in any of these years where they've played twice. And conversely, if they drop the game, they're like, oh, those guys will be back. And it'll be really, it's a different. And I think in this case, that could be very true. I think the Bills look like a very different team, passing the ball specifically against Tennessee and against Seattle. More so against Seattle. Tennessee, they got around to it in the second half. But Seattle, with their full complement of dudes, it looked different. And it's hard to remember that because in the, you know, they've played 10 games and Amari Cooper has barely, you know, he's barely been a part of 20% of that. And so where am I with him? But he should have an impact when healthy. And not having him for this game, not having Coleman, if you end up without Cooper, we'll see. We'll maybe find out more definitively tomorrow, although I suspect it's going to be a lot of, you know,
we'll see.
Unless he feels great and like, oh, he showed up today and he's ready to go full go. That'd be wonderful. But I'm expecting limited, sort of like last week, and then we'll just see how his pain tolerance is by Sunday and whether or not he can do it.
There's no reason to commit tomorrow.
Right, right.
You don't even know yet. If he talks before practice, he won't even know if he's planning on Cooper practicing McDermott, how it went.
Right.
So, yeah, I can't expect there'd be, unless it's bad,
right?
Like out, because we're going to, you know, there's going to be a procedure or something. Kincaid as well.
Right.
I think we probably will wait all week on those
guys.
Yeah,
I think that's probably right.
Coming up next, we expect a phone call from Brooks Orpik. On the night of his induction into the Greater Buffalo Sports Hall of Fame, Mike Schoep and the Bulldog here, WGR. Welcome back. We are delighted to have a few minutes with another of tonight's Greater Buffalo Sports Hall of Fame inductees. Brooks Orpik with us on the West Her Hotline. He played over 1,000 games in the NHL, as you may be aware, and has roots in the area, Amherst, and then Nichols, before a long and distinguished NHL career. Brooks, Mike, and Chris here. Congrats. How excited are you for tonight?
Well, thanks for having me. Yeah, super exciting for myself and my family. Coming back to Buffalo is always pretty cool. We live in Massachusetts now, so anytime we get back here, try to have a good time, but... yeah, it's a huge honor. It's something I retired 5 years ago, and then kind of moved on to a different phase of my life when I was done playing. So, right when you put your guard down and think you're kind of out of the spotlight, and then you get a call for this, it catches you off guard a little bit, but it's, like I said, it's a tremendous honor, especially reading the bios of the other inductees and then seeing the names of people that have gone in previously.
What do you do with yourself currently? Are you still working for the Capitals in player development?
I am. Yeah, I'm doing player development with our younger prospects. So it keeps you in the game. Gives me a lot of flexibility with my schedule, having two young girls that are fully entrenched in soccer and dance. Trying to find the right balance with that, but yeah, really enjoying doing what I'm doing.
Would you mind, Brooks, taking us back to your youth days playing hockey yourself here in Western New York? What are a couple of your standout memories?
Yeah, for sure. I was I think I moved here when I was 6 or 7. My dad switched jobs, and we were coming from California, so I didn't even know what hockey was, to be honest with you. And then that didn't take long to change being in this environment. And yeah, I think I remember going over to, I think my dad drugged me over to Holiday Twin Rinks to learn to skate thing, and I hated it. And then he, I think he was disappointed because he was hoping I would love it. And then I think we circled back a few months later, and I don't know what changed, but something changed, and got a stick in my hand. And then I think from there on out, I kind of fell in love with it. And yeah, like you said, growing up in Amherst, I probably didn't realize it at the time how fortunate I was. My dad worked for Bauer, so I had access to equipment and then a lot of free ice time here in Amherst. So everybody knows how expensive a sport it is. So those two hurdles were cleared for me and gave me a huge advantage early on.
When you have an honor like this, does it give you an opportunity, Brooks, to sort of look back at everything here? I mean, Mike just asked you about your early days playing here in the area. I think about how much work must go into doing it. Like, we all see, like, the TV, and we know the salaries and all the stuff. Like, there's a lot of glory. There's a lot of things that almost seem unattainable to regular people. But the work that goes in from teenage years right through, I mean, there's got to be a lot of grinding.
Yeah, and I think, I mean, throughout your career, you don't really get a lot of time off, so you don't have a lot of time to really let it kind of sink in or digest and really reflect on it until you are done playing. I definitely have more time now. I probably do it more when I'm traveling on my own solo. Mm-hmm. And it's fun with my job now. I get to run into a lot of people that I played with kind of all over different years. So some of those memories are kind of rehatched. But yeah, no, I mean, there's a lot of sacrifice that goes into it. I wouldn't change anything. I was very fortunate to have the career I had.
You have also the unique experience, relatively so anyway, of having long stretches with both Sidney Crosby and Alexander Ovechkin. Both guys pretty much still thriving. Ovechkin closing in on the all-time goals record, which is pretty insane. Any takeaways? I'm sure you have many, but just sort of like the experience of having played with these two men and other great players as well for so long.
And winning cups with both of them.
That's right. Right.
Yeah, and then having two fan bases love you and hate you at different times. But,
right.
Yeah, being rivals. But no, I mean, it was so cool having the chance to play against those guys and then be teammates with those guys. And I always tell people it's getting to practice against those guys every day. It could be humbling at times, but definitely was probably the ultimate preparer for games, because you go up against those guys in practice and then you'd feel like you were never overmatched against other guys in games. So, it was super cool playing with those guys, both super good competitors and teammates that they probably prepare in vastly different ways, but both have a lot of success. And, yeah, I mean, they're still playing at crazy high levels, even at their ages.
I still remember, I was just mentioning to Mike off the air, you scoring a goal in game two of the final with Washington. And my recollection of that is that it seemed like an unprecedented event had just happened, that you had scored a goal in a Stanley Cup final game. And I don't know, do you remember it that way? And were you at all like, guys, I'm in the league. Like, it's okay. I'm allowed to score goals.
Well, it was against a good buddy of mine, too, so I got to rub it in on Marc-Andre Fleury. So that was even better. But, I don't think goal scoring was ever something I was looked for. So it was always nice to contribute. And then when you could do it at that point in the season on that stage, obviously it felt really good. But that was a fun series, and obviously we won it that year with probably about as fun a group as you could do it with.
Finally, Brooks, Rob Gronkowski was on with us earlier today. He said he's got about 80 people at this thing. I don't know, it seems like a high bar to clear, but I'm sure you've got your support tonight.
I don't have 80, I'll tell you that, but I was definitely looking forward, and still am looking forward to meeting him and hearing his speech. I think my brother actually crossed paths when they were both at Williamsville North a little bit, but I've never had the chance of meeting him. So, hopefully we do tonight.
Very cool. Glad we could have you on, Brooks, to help you celebrate tonight. Bulldog, go ahead.
Before you go, I got to solve this, because I'm on your Wikipedia page. And he's known as Free Candy to his teammates, a nickname of uncertain origin. So I feel like I can do the world a great service if we can find out what the origin of Free Candy as a nickname for you is, if it's even real.
I can't tell you what it means. I can tell you the origin. The origin was... Man, that was like my first handful of years in Pittsburgh. I think it was like, this is like the early years of like blogs.
Okay.
And there was a Penn's blog there. I never even got to meet the guys who did it, but yeah, they were selling T-shirts, and the amount of people that would yell and scream that at me, like,
all right,
yeah, I don't know, somehow it caught on. But thankfully, nobody calls me that anymore.
All right, well, I'm sorry to bring it up.
Yeah, no hard feelings.
All good, all good.
A lot of nicknames on the Hockey Reference page. A lot of other ones to pick from, Brooks. Thanks again, and congratulations.
All right, thank you.
Brooks Orpik, one of the inductees tonight at the Convention Center, the 2024 Greater Buffalo Hall of Fame. If you missed Rob Gronkowski. We had a great chat with him earlier today. We'll have that coming up for you here in a few minutes. And tomorrow, Matt Verderam is scheduled to join us in the afternoon. We'll talk about the Chiefs side of this rivalry. Of course, right? I mean, we're just immersed in this game. I am. You're not, but I am. You're looking at your fantasy stuff. I know.
No, I'm the weirdo that's looking forward to Hellebuck and Shesterkin tonight.
All right. It's respectable.
I mean, it's not Chiefs-Bills, I know.
Respectable. There probably are these old Chiefs-Bills games on NFL Network all week
right.
or something. Anyway, back with our chat with Gronk after the update. Mike Schopen, the Bulldog, WGR.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
I'm Jenna Fisher.
And I'm Angela Kinsey.
And together we have the podcast Office Ladies.
Just because we finished rewatching The Office does not mean we're going anywhere.
Every Wednesday, we'll be sharing even more exclusive stories from The Office and our friendship with brand new guests. Plus, you can revisit all the Office Ladies rewatch episodes every Monday with new bonus tidbits before every episode.
So follow and listen to Office Ladies on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.